You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt on the AM 740 Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin.
I love that singing at the top of the garden show.
Well, it is pretty corny, you got to admit.
I do love it. Robbie Lane in for Frank Proctor, and I'm here with the garden guru herself, Charlie Dobbin.
Well, thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm great. What a great week this has been.
And what a great sparkly shirt you're wearing.
Yeah, well, the neighbors threw out their curtains, and my wife sewed up a shirt for
me. It's great. That's like a real star thing. Do you wear that on stage?
No.
No?
No.
Why? Do you wear glitter and stuff, don't you?
No, I just wear either black or white.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't
Mainly
know that.
Black.
To what? Disappear?
No, I don't know. It's just always been the way we've done it.
Yeah. Well, it's serious.
It's serious. Very serious.
It looks professional, too.
Yes, it does, yes.
But not black glitter?
Just, not black glitter.
Just black.
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I could get away with black glitter. It doesn't match my toenail polish.
I was gonna say. But that is a great shirt. I really like that.
Thank you, Charlie. Now, and thank you for the cucumber. You brought David and I a cucumber today.
I did.
Beans last week.
I tell you.
We're just getting spoiled.
See what it is next week.
Yeah, you never know. I'm afraid to ask.
Well, things are coming along. You know, that's the gardens are definitely growing. We did get some rain, I'm so pleased to say, last Sunday at our place. Not everybody did, but we did, and that made a big difference. That was a nice downpour. My rain barrel filled up again.
Good.
Excellent. But I was out in Goderich this week. And they haven't had rain in weeks and weeks. It's just crispy out there. Like, their lawns are truly yellow. Yeah. So, I mean, we did get, like I say, that blip of rain certainly saved my vegetable garden.
Yeah, part of our lawn is green again, but the rest of it is still that yellow, rusty color.
Yeah. Crispy when you
crispy,
walk on it.
Yes. Well, I should give out the phone numbers.
Sure.
Because lots of people will want to call in and ask you a question or two. 416-367-0740 or toll free here in Ontario at 1-866-740-4740. So do you have any news off the top that you want to pass?
I do, but one thing I do want to share first is when you said people might want to call and ask a question or two.
It's one question
per
person.
The mantra is one question per person.
Yes,
exactly.
And remember, we have your phone numbers out there.
Call early, right? Call often.
And call often,
but just one question at a time. But some announcements, things to mark on your calendars. Tomorrow, the Scarborough Garden and Hort Society hosts their annual garden tour. It's from 12 noon until 4 p.m. What you do is you meet at the Scarborough Village Community Center parking lot, which is at 3600 Kingston Road and Markham Road. When you get there, starting at 11:30 a.m., you may purchase the passport, which will give you the top secret location of the garden locations, $10, and you'll self-guide yourself around to the various gardens. But a special little thing that they've added in, I think is kind of cool, is tea will be served from 3:30 until 5 p.m. at the historic Christ Church, which is right next door to the Scarborough Village Community Center.
That sounds really nice.
Yeah, so a nice outing tomorrow if you're in the Scarborough area and would like to get the sneak peek into some gardens. Why not? 12 till 4.
It's going to be a beautiful day tomorrow.
It is.
That's
gorgeous.
That's what they say.
Next Saturday, I did mention this last week, the Richmond Hill Garden and Hort Society is sponsoring an edible gardens learning tour, which I think sounds quite fun. So lots to learn, whether you're gardening in a small one small pot or a multi-acreage. You'll be able to see those kinds of gardens on this tour because they've got a real good mix of different kind of edible gardens. Berries, fruit trees, vegetables, I mean, you know, just everything, herbs.
Great.
More information, www.richmondhillgardensociety.org, and click on Garden Tours. Back for its second year, this is something you might be interested in, Robbie.
Okay.
The Toronto Botanical Gardens, which is not that far from where you live. It's
That's
Leslie
right.
and Lawrence.
Yes, so great place.
East End, right next to the Edwards Gardens.
Yep.
Well, for the second year, they are now, every Thursday night, they have music in the gardens. They have live music. And actually, that's a really good point. You should be there. You might want to call them up. Every Thursday, they have a different, you know, whoever it is, whether it's a band or it's a, you know, whatever, musicians or both. And they also have an organic farmers market at the exact same time. So every Thursday evening. So lots of selection, seasonal produce, cheeses, meats. They have tents out in the parking lot where the organic farmers market is from 3 until 7, right through till early October. And then, of course, like I say, the Gardens of Song series takes place from 7 to 8:30, same evening.
I got to go there.
Yeah, and there's a cafe. You can purchase whatever, some food, sit down. You can even rent a chair if you don't have a chair. If you don't bring your own,
Good idea.
Rent a chair. I think it's a dollar. And then you can be comfortable, listen to the music.
Can you get wine there?
Good question. Is it licensed?
Because my wife, Marilyn, she won't be there if there's no wine.
Well, you could bring your own. Like, okay. You can bring your own food. You know, you can bring your own picnic.
Yeah,
right?
get an intravenous drip for her. That's probably the best way.
I'd probably really like your wife.
You would.
So one more quick thing, and this is a new one. The Canadian National Exhibition, the CNE, every year they host a horticulture show. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's in the Direct Energy Center.
Yes.
On the main floor in Heritage Court. It's quite a big deal. Now, it's open to everyone. Anybody who's growing any houseplants, flowers, and vegetables can enter into the show. You do not need to be the member of any kind of a hort society at all, though you can be as well. It's a lot of fun, and there's a lot of money to be won.
Really?
And no, it's not like thousands, but it's people love this. I mean, people get very competitive about. I mean, those are pretty beautiful cucumbers I brought you guys today.
They are.
So you know what I mean? Like, people get pretty competitive.
AAA.
That's right. So if you're interested in getting involved at the CNE Horticultural Show, go to their website. It's thex1word.com. Then you have to kind of click through, and you're going to find as you click around downloads, and then there will be one of the downloads will be the CNE 2012 Horticulture Show Schedule and Prize List. Click on that, and there's all your information. Or give their office a call at the CNE. The office number is 416-263-3835. Or the chairperson of the show, Dave Money. Everybody knows Dave Money. He's been around in the horticultural world for absolutely ever. Give him a call, 416-497-3788. And good luck to all the entrants.
Yeah, well, that's a great idea to let anybody come to that show.
That's right. And participate. Yeah, it's quite,
yeah,
like I say, it's
I like that
pretty
idea.
Competitive. People stand around, you know, with little paintbrushes, cleaning and fluffing and primping their plants.
They would.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to keep that in mind. And the Toronto Botanical Gardens as well, because that's really close to me, Thursday nights.
Yeah.
All right. We should go to our first caller, Neil. We're not going to go to our first caller. I should be watching David, but he has no lights on over there, so I can't see him.
He hides behind that computer monitor.
He does.
I think
he
sleeps.
Yeah, he's actually naked right now. You don't know that, but he is.
Oh, no.
All right, we're going to come back with our first caller after this.
Don't change the radio station. Just because the weather changes, garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
And good morning. We have a few callers on the line. I just should give out the numbers one more time. 416-367-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. And Charlie Dobbin, we do have a caller, Neil, from Aurora, who's something to say about his lily roots. So good morning, Neil.
Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
Excuse me. Is there anything you could pour on lily roots? Probably eco-friendly that would destroy lily roots, short of digging them up.
Yeah, and are these day lilies or lily of the valley or what is it?
Yeah, they're wild lilies. You know, the big, long, tall orange ones.
Oh yeah, yeah, like the ones we see in the ditches.
Yeah, they spread like crazy.
They do, and those roots are very hard to eliminate. Are they mixed in with other garden plants, or is this an empty space that you're trying to reclaim?
There is one or two coming up through some small bushes we have. You know.
Oh, I see.
I dug a lot up, you know, but I'm fighting a losing battle.
I know. Well, that's the thing. Those roots get all entangled and entwined with existing roots of shrubs and plants we love. Honestly, they're the best way, the only real way to eliminate those daylily roots is to dig up what you love, pull out all the chunks of daylily that's all mixed in with the roots. Now, it's a little too hot and dry to do this right now, but it's something you could do in the fall.
Yeah.
And you'd have to literally pull out every chunk of lily that's mixed in there. And then what I'd be inclined to do is, if you had a holding spot where you could put the things that you are going to go back into that spot, but hold them over winter in another garden somewhere temporarily, then you could use the suffocation method, black plastic or dark plastic over the surface of the soil where those little bits of lily are still coming up.
Okay.
And you'd have to, of course, seal the edges of that plastic with rocks or soil so there's no water, no light getting underneath. And that will ultimately kill the lily roots. Anything that you use that would kill the lily roots would also damage the lovely plants you want to keep. You know, if you want to just leave them there and start considering, you know, Roundup or some of the horticultural vinegars and those kinds of things, very hard to just kill the lily and not anything else with those sprays. Though, you know, technically you could do it really, really carefully if you're in there non-windy day with some of the, you know, Weed Be Gone, it's called, or the stuff that's called Path Clear is the very strong smelling, high potency vinegar. And that can be used on anything green and will kill anything green that it contacts. So, you know, if you want to really selectively and carefully spray the little bits of lily as they're coming up, careful to not spray anything you love, you could, over a period of time, also effectively eliminate the lilies that way.
Okay, thanks very much.
Okay, good
You're
luck
welcome,
with that.
Neil.
Thank you. Bye.
Have a good day. Well, Neil, that reminded me of my problem with Lily of the Valley.
Yes.
And no matter how much I dug them up, there were a million more next year.
Mm-hmm.
So we finally just took them out of there. Sawed it over.
Oh, that's right. You said,
yeah.
And you actually did a dig to take them out? Yeah, because they would have come up through the sod.
Well, so far, so good.
Fingers crossed.
You never know.
Well, you see, that's the thing. If the sod starts to suffer and become thin and sparse, I wouldn't be surprised if those, you know, lilies took advantage, the Lily of the Valley took advantage and started poking up.
So I wouldn't be surprised.
You do
either.
Have to keep that turf competing effectively and winning the competition with the Lily of the Valley.
Yeah, well, we're going to try.
All right. We'll talk a bit more about turf for people that are interested in what to do with your lawn through the dog days of summer.
Yeah, boy, these are dog days, too. We've got Merle, I think that's her name, calling in from North York, and she has a crabapple tree that she's probably driving her crazy with all the apples falling on the ground. Right, Merle?
No, it's not the apples. It's the leaves.
Oh, okay. Well, Charlie can help you out.
I had heard before that you had to rake the leaves up. They were bad for the grass and the lawn.
And
is that true? I don't know, because I just like to, I have a mulching lawnmower. I mean, I could just go right over them if that's not true.
Well, do you find that your crabapple is losing leaves now?
Yes, lots of leaves.
Lots of leaves. And they're mostly yellow.
Yes, they are.
And they have little spots, brown and black spots
on them. Yeah,
they're
brown, yeah.
Yeah, so that's, you're right. Okay, so that's a really good question, actually. What's happened is the crabapple has a fungal disease, and that's just why this defoliation is happening early. There are some varieties of crabapple, some of the older varieties particularly, are very susceptible to many fungus kind of spores or fungal spores. So what's happening is those leaves are dropping as a result of that. But you're absolutely right. This time of year, you go over those leaves with your mulching mower. They get chopped up fine. Mm-hmm. Assuming that your lawn is a healthy lawn, it's got a good living soil, so lots of life. We're talking, you know, everything from earwigs and worms that we can see down to little tiny microorganisms we can't see. But a living lawn, a healthy lawn with good, healthy soil, they'll just chew up, you know, not literally, but they will decompose those little bits of leaves very quickly.
The lawn on that side under the tree is not that great, so maybe that's another thing I need to do too is enrich that soil.
Good idea. Get down some.
I can do it now at this time of the year.
Sure,
as well.
You could for sure. I wouldn't do a lot of seeding of grass seed right now or fertilizing, but certainly you can always top dress and with a good compost. I mean, a real living compost, if you will.
Oh, okay.
Whether it's your own homemade.
That's terrific. Then thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
You're welcome, Merle. Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, just an addendum to that. Just because, like Merle was saying, you know, you're not supposed to leave the leaves on the lawn. In the fall, when we are out there mulching or collecting leaves, there isn't as much time frame for the decomposition of the leaves to take place before winter hits.
Yeah.
Because once winter hits, it gets cold and everything gets dormant. So the trick is to be mulching those leaves now, doing everything in your power to make them disappear.
Yes.
In the fall, it is usually wiser to take diseased leaves off the property rather than keeping them on the property.
Yeah. Well, she's got the right idea
asking the right question at the right time.
416-367-0740 if you have a question for Charlie Dobbin. It is The Garden Show, so it should be a question about gardening.
Though we're pretty open to
it. Yeah, we are open.
We'll talk about,
anything. About sexual dysfunction. And
well, you can handle that.
All right, we're going to come back with, let's see, who we got waiting. Jane is on the line, and we're going to talk to her in just a minute. But first, we got to do this. David, do it.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than we do realize. And should little creatures become a big problem, well, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
And Robbie Lane is joining me today.
Yes, I am.
We're both giggling.
We are.
I like that. Very creative, these little intros.
They are, aren't they?
Okay, so I did neglect to mention just before we went to the break, Sierra Sil.
Yes.
Something that both Frank, also known as Maudie, and I take. Frank, who is not with us, he's in a hammock.
Yeah.
With his beer in one hand and a martini in the other,
I hope so.
Sierra Sil, and the, you know why? It's because he takes his Sierra Sil, he can get in and out of that hammock. He can do handsprings and a little kickboxing on the side. And that's because Sierra Sil helps with joint stiffness. Any aches and pains in your joints, it's a completely natural mineral that we take daily and find that, the joints just don't creak as much as they used to.
Sounds good to me.
So if you're interested, the website has been updated. It's very, very friendly and readable, sierrasil.ca, or give them a call at 1-877-JOINT-14. Or you can pick up Sierra Sil at all kinds of health food stores like The Big Carrot on Danforth or at Nature's Village on Queen Street South in Streetsville.
Streetsville, a nice little town.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. We have Jane on the line who's calling in from Georgian Bay, I believe. Jane, good morning. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Not too bad.
What's your question for Charlie?
My lilac bushes. When are the good time to prune them?
Are they big old lilac bushes?
They're not really big, but I have two that are a good size.
Mm-hmm. Well, the rule of thumb with any flowering shrub of any kind, and lilac is a good example of a flowering shrub, do the pruning you're going to do right after they finish flowering.
Okay.
So that would have been about a month ago. However, you're not too late. You could still do it now, the operative word being now.
Right.
Do not leave it till the fall, because by that time the flower buds will be formed for next spring and you'll be cutting them off.
Okay.
All right.
So do you just cut out the really big stems in the middle type?
Exactly. With lilacs, we do not trim them by giving them a haircut. There's none of this kind of doing this little, crazy trimming into a mounded shape or whatever. The proper way to trim a lilac is to recognize that it's normal and its shape that it wants to be is in the shape of a vase. So narrow at the bottom and wide at the top.
Okay.
When they get bigger, of course, they still have that shape if you don't prune them, but they'll be 20 feet tall and you can't even smell the lilacs, much less pick them.
Yeah.
So to get it down to a height and a proportional size that you want and still maintain the shape that you want, you're exactly right. It might require a limbing saw. It definitely will require big loppers of some kind, nice sharp shears, down on your hands and knees into the center of the shrub, and you will look for the biggest, oldest stems, and you will remove them at soil level, right at the base.
Oh, okay.
The most you remove at any one time is 1/3 of the plant.
Yeah.
So if there's 12 stems growing right now, you're going to choose the 4 oldest to take out.
Okay.
At ground level. Then you'll stand back and say, okay, might have to do a little bit of trimming just for form and shape at that point, but it all starts by taking out the older growth first.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Now, I have one of my lilac bushes that has a maple tree growing in it. Is that going to damage them?
Neither one is going to thrive. They're going to be competing with each other, and the lilac shape will be affected by the maple and vice versa. The maple's shape will be affected by the lilac. Is that a seedling that blew in and grew?
I guess so.
The maple?
I guess so. We've only been here 5 years, so it's trees that we're trying to get under control and stuff.
Yeah. How big's the maple now?
It's about as big as the... the lilac tree, I guess. So, it's not that big.
Like 6 or 7 feet kind of thing.
I don't think it's even that tall.
Oh, okay.
It's a young one.
You know, if I were you, if you can, and you've got lots of maples on the property, I would go in there, and if you can't dig out the maple, which is quite likely, mm-hmm. at least cut it off at ground level.
Right, okay.
And by cutting that stem off at ground level, it should not regrow. If it does, if some little, you know, green starts to come up from that root,
yeah.
just continue to remove the green growth, and eventually the root will die.
Oh, okay.
Okay, because, yeah, it's pretty hard. Yeah, I would you choose one, bottom line.
yeah.
Okay, that's good.
okay.
Okay, great.
Good. Thanks
Have a great
for your
weekend.
Call.
Thank you.
Enjoy Georgian Bay.
Yeah, wow.
I want to be there right
nice
now.
Up here.
I
yeah.
bet it is.
We have your phone number, so we'll be up later this
oh,
afternoon.
Really?
We'll call you first.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Thanks,
Bye-bye.
Gene.
You got somebody calling in thanking you for your advice.
And oh, good to
that?
Hear. Joyce.
Joyce. Joyce, good morning.
Good morning, Charlene. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine. I just want to say thank you for the advice you gave me with regard to using the Q-tips to pollinate my tomato plants.
Oh, really?
Oh, my goodness. There's one plant, since I did it 2 weeks ago, that has about 16 little ones.
Great.
Ranging from the size of my maybe fingernail, a small marble to a large marble, and I have more blossoms popping up left, right, and center.
Perfect. Yeah, are these tomatoes that are inside your house?
No.
They're outside.
Yeah. These are some heirloom tomatoes.
Oh, right.
That I bought.
Yep. You just want to be ensure that they were pollinated.
Yeah.
Excellent.
What, these tomatoes are indeterminate because, you know, some of them are over 5 feet tall.
Yeah.
Now, what do I do? Do I lop off the top of it to prevent more tomatoes, or do I just let it grow and then at the end of the season just hang it in the garage upside down?
Well, good question, actually. With an indeterminate tomato, what that means is that the terminal bud or the tip of the plant continues to grow forever and ever and ever until something kills it. In our world, typically it's frost that kills the tomatoes. If you take the top off, that terminal bud off, you're going to get a wider plant. You're going to get a whole bunch of side shoots growing out from the main stem where the leaf meets the main stem. You're going to find a whole bunch of more little side buds start to grow. More flowers will form. More fruit will form. It's really just a question of what works for you in terms of the height you can deal with. I try to train my tomatoes to a single stem, and I don't allow all those side buds. But you're right. My tomatoes right now are 6 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got, you know, some 8 foot stakes in the wings. And then once they get up to 8 feet, you know, then they still want to go. And at some point, you sort of have to say, okay, enough already, and just
yes.
take the top off. And because they just start twining all over the place. There's just not enough stakes to hold them up.
Okay.
But for most of us, it's just a question of what's going to be the easiest way to not only maximize the fruit or the tomatoes, but also to get to them, you know, to get in, to get, be able to pick them, et cetera.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's how close we planted them together can make a difference in terms of how wide we want them to be.
Yeah.
Usually by about mid-August, I start taking the tops off the tomatoes because at that point there won't be enough time for any flowers that are now forming to actually mature into actual tomatoes.
Okay, do you think that because I've put a lot of calcium, I've even crushed some calcium tablets and lots of eggshells, do you think that that has anything to do with it, apart from, say, the pollination?
To do with the size of the plants?
Yes.
No, probably not. I mean, calcium is an essential micronutrient,
yes.
but it will not do a lot in terms of encouraging a lot of green stems and green leaves. It's more probably just the quality of your soil. You know, you've obviously got lots of available macronutrients like the nitrogen, the phosphorus, and the potassium that the plants absolutely need in sufficient quantity in order to really grow and be healthy.
It's the compost that I've had for 20 years.
There you go. It's okay. The compost.
Thank you very,
it's
very
usually
much.
The compost. I like that.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Good luck with that, Joyce. That's
yeah.
great. I love
and
that.
And your tomatoes, David Gaskin and I, who's David's our associate producer out there,
mm-hmm.
we're looking forward to your tomatoes later on in the summer.
Yes, indeed. Well, David reminded me, I brought some in last year. We did some tastings because I always grow a real variety of tomatoes. So this year I have some yellow ones, which are a different variety of yellow than I grew last year, and I do have a couple of heritage varieties, and of course there's always the little sweet millions, and then the monster beefsteaks, because you know summer isn't summer without monster beefsteak
tomatoes. You gotta have them.
So I'll see if I've got any for next week, because next week's the last week you're going to be with us, right?
Well, You mean on the garden show. Yes, that's true. Yeah, Frank will be returning the week after that.
Yeah. All right, well, I'll see if I can bring some tomatoes for you next week.
Well, don't rush. Well, I'm always around.
Oh, okay, there you go.
unless you know something I don't know.
No, I don't know anything.
All right, we've got Joy calling from Colburn, and she's going to be asking you about her lilies. Good morning, Joy.
Good morning.
And morning.
Charlie's all ready for you.
Okay, thank you. I have a fairly large flower bed in the middle of my lawn, and it is full. It has roses, hydrangeas, wigelias, peonies, and lilies.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be dug up. Everything needs to be dug out of there, and new soil and mulch and that type of thing, which you can't do, you know, in a fairly short period of time. How long can the lilies, the bulbs stay out of the ground before you have to put them back in again?
The shorter the time, the better when it comes to lilies.
Okay.
Because lilies will start to, I mean, what I would do, if you're really going to have to take the bed apart, which you're absolutely right, sometimes that's the only way to renovate a garden is to start at one end and work your way through.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'd be inclined to do would be to divide the garden up into quadrants and tackle one quadrant at a time.
Okay.
And take everything out, you know, do whatever cleaning up you're going to do on those items that you've taken out. Meanwhile, the fixing and rejuvenating the soil and putting things back in perhaps a different location than they had been with this sort of new garden vision in mind. The lilies, I would try, of course, they're growing right now, so it's very obvious where they are. Once the flowers are done, which some of them might be done already, others are just coming on.
They're pretty well done. Most of them are pretty well done.
Yeah, so you'll cut off the flowers when they're done. You'll leave those green stems and green leaves because, of course, that's what's going to fatten up the bulbs for next year.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to want to start this rejuvenation until the weather cools down and we're closer to the end of summer rather than midsummer. And so what I'd be inclined to do when you're digging up the lilies would be to pot them up. Do not shake the soil off and have them sit out in the air. Pot them up as if they're still in the garden. Everything you're taking out, you're either going to heel it into some soil somewhere else or have some big pots on hand or plastic bags if necessary with holes in the bottom, and you're going to pop everything into, like leaving some soil on the root ball, putting it as if nothing's changed. It's a trick, right? You want these plants to think that, you know, it's just a mini vacation. You're going from the center of the lawn over to the garage for a week or so, and then you're coming back.
Yeah, and it's first class.
Yeah, exactly. And it will, you know, minimize the shock on the plants by keeping the moisture levels adequate. The soil is still there. The light levels are still there. And with the lilies, I would try and do the same thing.
Okay, thank you very much. I don't have another question, but could I give you some advice for the lady that has the maple tree?
Sure, yeah.
My grandson has found, I have a lot of trees on my property, maple trees, and if they're not too tall, you can actually pull the maple, rather than dig it up, mm-hmm. you can pull it out of the ground and the roots stay intact.
Mm-hmm.
And replant.
Yeah, yep, good idea. And just by loosening the soil, it's more likely that the root will come up.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That was Jane who called up in Georgian Bay. So she said she had lots of trees on the property anyway, but perhaps she would like to keep this maple, and that would be a way to try and do it.
It is. Yeah. Thank you very
good
much
stuff.
For your advice.
Well, Thanks so much, Joy. That's a good suggestion, too. I like that.
Yeah, very good. And someone else has a suggestion for you with regard to lily, lily beetles.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got Janet from Elora. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm good. And so is Charlie, and she's waiting for your question.
Excellent. I've got a lot of lilies in my garden and, of course, plagued by lily beetles.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found a product that is working quite effectively.
What's that?
It's organic-based, and it's called King Bug Killer Dust. It's a rotenone base,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and I found it absolutely will kill the larva and is quite effective on the beetles as well.
And so are you sprinkling the dust all over the plant when you see right away when you see any insects on it?
Yes, I was just finished dusting right now, so I thought, I'll give you a call.
Okay. Yeah, so you're fine. Yeah, so that's working for you. Now, I would expect the rotenone to work for the larva, but I'm surprised it's working on the adults as well.
Yes. Well, I've just dusted a few now that I've seen some live adults on, so I'll leave that a little while, and then I'll go out later and see if I can find any bodies on the ground.
Yeah, find them with their little legs all curled up flat on their back.
The only good ones are dead.
Exactly. I agree.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good to hear. So, all right. Yeah, so King Bug Killer Dust is, like you say, it's a rotenone product. So if anybody's looking for rotenone, you can sometimes still find it under the actual name, rotenone, R-O-T-E-N-O-N-E, but more likely it's going to have a name like bug killer dust. So you have to look for the active ingredient. So that's bring your magnifying glass. This is small print on the packages, and it'll say under active ingredient, it'll say right on it a percentage of rotenone. And certainly rotenone's been around forever. It's still very effective. The one addendum to rotenone is keep it away from any bodies of water. It's very, very toxic to fish.
Idea.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
Well, I hope someone else has some good luck, too.
Good stuff. Thanks so much for your call.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, and good morning to you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I was going to ask you something, Charlie. We've had a great number of weeds all around in our garden beds and in the front of the house through the bush area and everywhere else. And I bought some weed killer, which contains iron, and they claim that that works and it's eco-friendly.
Yep.
It did nothing.
Oh,
so
that's under the probably the package name was Weed Be Gone or something like that.
Yeah, I can't remember the name.
It's ferrous something or other. Yeah, it's a high level of iron. All right, did you follow all the instructions to the letter?
I think so.
Okay, because it's for so many of these things to work, moisture levels and temperature levels. Actively growing weeds are important.
Yep.
When did you spray?
Maybe 6 weeks ago.
Oh, okay. So that would have, should have been actively growing.
Yeah.
And temperature should have been fine. Because it was, the trick is the soil temperature has to come up to a certain level where the plants will start to actively grow. Then, of course, we get so hot, nothing is growing anymore.
Well, the weeds are growing.
The weeds, once they're established.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing is often it does take more than one spray if they're old, tap-rooted dandelions and that sort of thing. But it should work. So you saw no annihilation of any weeds at
all?
The
odd one here or there, but nothing serious.
Well, that's frustrating.
Yeah, it is. So then I went out and bought, you know how it's locked up now, the chemical weed killer.
Mm-hmm.
And I only bought a small bottle of it, and it did the job on the area that I sprayed.
Right. And what you bought, they don't still have Killex for sale, do they? Or did you?
I don't know what the brand name, but they do have it locked up. It's almost like they're, weapons.
well, Roundup is still available for noxious weeds like poison ivy or those, something like a giant, hogsweed, something like that. So that is still available, but it is locked up. And technically, you're supposed to sign a waiver when you buy it.
Yes.
Saying that you're going to be using it on something that's a real big problem and not just a dandelion.
That's right. I heard your promo this week about hogweeds and scared me.
I bet.
Like, those are ginormous things.
I know. Oh,
and they can be very dangerous.
6 meters tall when flowering. Oh, well, and very dangerous depending on your sensitivity.
Yeah.
And also remembering you don't want to touch it at all.
No.
But sometimes there has been some stories about, people think, I'll just take a baseball bat to it and, knock it down. Well, of course, there they are in hospital for weeks and weeks with third degree burns all over their body from, the actual horrible exudate on the plant, so it's not pretty.
No, it isn't pretty. And I think about kids playing in areas where there might be hot.
And poison ivy. There's lots of poison ivy out there.
There are.
Yeah, so really important to know what these things look like and recognize, when the kids go out to play, that they know what these things look like, too.
For sure.
So just before we go to a break, I do want to just mention Sierra Sil one more time.
Yep.
I keep telling you about this product. I hope someday you will try it. But then you're young and you have no aches and stiffness like us old folk.
What?
So with age and with the desire to stay active, sometimes we find that the knees get a little creaky and even when I'm out pruning hour after hour, the wrists get sore. So I find Sierra Sil makes a difference, and I know Frank uses it. Like I say, I know he's hopping in and out of that hammock without even a wince on his holidays because he's taking his Sierra Sil every day. For more information, go to sierrasil.ca or give them a call, 1-877-JOINT-14 or pick it up at your local health food store. It is available at all kinds of places, including Nature Source that has 5 different store locations, Mississauga, Oakville, Toronto, Coburg, and a new store in Maple.
All right. Sounds good. We've got some callers on the line. We're going to take a little break and come back and get all those calls in.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, phlox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
And good morning. It's Robbie Lane in for Frank Proctor. Charlie Dobbin is here. And we have Arlene calling from Guelph. And also we have a lady on the line that needs a phone number from Charlie. And you'll be talking to her shortly.
I will.
Okay. Arlene, good morning. Good morning, Arlene.
Good morning.
Morning.
Nice of you to call in. I hope you're having a good weekend so far.
Yes, so far.
All right. Well,
thank you.
You can shoot your shot right now at Charlie.
Okay. I have lilacs. I have 2 of them. They're in those half wooden barrels.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they've been in there for 7 years, and the roots are starting to come up to the top. Should they be taken out of there and put them right into the ground?
That would be a good idea if you have a spot to put them in the ground.
Yeah, we would have, yeah.
Yeah, you could do that. Or the other thing would be treat them like we would treat any potted plant that's outgrowing its pot, and we don't want to give it a bigger pot. So instead, if lilacs are so tough, really, you can dig it out of the barrel with your saw off a bunch of roots and some fresh soil back in the barrel, lilacs back in the barrel, and settle them all in, and they'll be good for a couple more years if you want to leave them in the barrel.
Okay, that's fine.
But you could certainly, because you couldn't do this with every plant, but lilacs are a good example of a nice tough one you could do that with.
Yeah, they're not the really tall ones, I don't think. I don't know what my husband put in at the time, but I don't think they're wild. I think they're the regular ones.
Oh, yeah, okay. And the other thing, in a wooden barrel after 7 years, you may find that the barrels are starting to rot anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it may be time to just move them into the garden and check out the quality of the barrels, whether they're worth keeping or not.
I fed them, I guess it was sometime early July,
mm-hmm.
with he passed away, so I've been feeding stuff, and he left some tree fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
So I fed them, and we had some Rosa Sharons,
mm-hmm.
and I fed those. So is that what I keep on doing, just feeding the lilacs?
You can keep feeding. Like, a tree fertilizer typically is going to be a fairly high first number in the 3 numbers that make up the fertilizer proportions. With both a lilac and a rose of Sharon, of course, one of the reasons we grow them is for flowers.
Yes.
So I would be inclined to use a flowering plant fertilizer on lilacs and my rose of Sharon, and you'll find that the number will be higher in the middle rather than higher at the first number.
Yeah.
Just to encourage flower bud formation.
Okay. And so what I've done this year is fine. I won't bother with the other.
That's right. Oh, yeah, don't do any more, because that you actually bring up a good point. It's very important that we do feed all our plants, whether they be trees or shrubs or vegetables or lawns, but we stop fertilizing at the end of July. There's no more fertilizer going out. So if people haven't fertilized, or it's been a good 6 or 7 weeks since you did fertilize, if there's adequate moisture in your soil, you may fertilize again this week, but that's it. No more.
Right.
Other than, of course, the lawns we'll do later in the fall. And we do continue to fertilize our annual plants, our vegetables and our annual flowers. But otherwise, yeah, all the perennial plants, the woody plants, cease and desist after this week.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, too. Yeah. Do I keep feeding the perennials? So I don't feed the perennials either.
Not after this week.
Yeah. Okay, then. Fine.
Good stuff. Thanks so much.
Thanks very much.
Great Bye-bye. Question.
Thank you for your call.
Yeah.
Well, Verna is calling in from Richmond Hill, and she needs a phone number from you, Charlie. Apparently, mm-hmm. you gave out a phone number before. And Verna, how are you this morning?
I'm very good.
Good.
No humidity. I'm lovely.
I know. It's perfect. You need some help, right?
Yeah. Charlie, you've mentioned this over the years, and I've never really needed it until this year. I think there's the word suns in it.
Mm-hmm.
It people that will come out and do yard work for you because this little old lady's legs won't let her do it anymore.
Well, you know, it is a company that I was working with at Canada Blooms. That's mm-hmm. where I first sort of found them. Mm-hmm. And it's a really kind of a cute company. It was started by a young guy, mm-hmm. and he just recognized that a lot of people like yourself mm-hmm. need help around the home. Mm-hmm. They don't need skilled help. It's really unskilled labor. The homeowner typically knows exactly how to do the job. They just can't do it themselves.
No, I physically I cannot.
Yeah, so what he did is he started a company. It's called Rent a Sun.
I knew there was sun in there.
Yeah,
somewhere.
So it's hyphenated between the rent and the and the sun.
Mm-hmm.
The website is very simple. It's just www.rentasun.ca.
Okay.
They are based in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
You can, if you go to their website, contact them via the website.
I don't have a computer. I have access to one if need be, but I would prefer a phone number.
Have you got a pen handy?
Sure do.
All right. So locally, it's 416-913-9021.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
I'm doing it now, because this year's shot, what I'm doing it now for is next year.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and cleaning out eaves troughs, you know, getting up and doing things that we just can't do ourselves.
I've got a list as long as my arm.
I bet you do. So it's perfect. Keep adding to the list, and then when you give these guys a call, they'll give you an idea of the price, and of course, the people they send you do need to be supervised because they are not necessarily knowing how to do all this stuff,
yeah.
And they don't come with a lot of tools. They, as far as I know, they expect you to both supply tools and supervision.
Well, I have it all.
Yeah, and they'll do anything you want.
No, so I can supervise.
There you go. Perfect.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thanks Bye-bye. For your call. That's great. The other point is for anybody who's outside of the Toronto area and wants to contact this company, there is a 1-800 number. So for anybody, like I say, who wants Rent-A-Sun outside Toronto is 1-866-999-2766. And like I say, they're a pretty sweet group of people.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
That young guy that started that.
I know.
I hope he's doing very well because it's a terrific idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's, yeah. I have a son, so I don't have to rent one at this point. But I do recognize that the time will come, and it was a really good idea.
Yeah.
So.
When I was, we're going to take a break, but just quickly, when I was growing up, we used to go around the neighborhood and cut people's lawns and charge them a couple of bucks or whatever. I don't see that anymore.
No, it's true.
Yeah. There's no kids out there that want to cut lawns.
Well, it's funny you mention that. When I was a kid, same thing. Like when I was too young to get a job at the local whatever,
yeah.
Myself and my friend, we made up little business cards, and of course, you know, handmade. And it was, my friend's name was Josette, but of course, her short form is Joe. So it was Charlie and Joe's. And we did everything. It was like it listed. We walked dogs, we babysat dogs if people went away. We would clean houses, we'd serve dinner parties, we'd mow lawns, we'd clean homes, we'd do anything.
You still do that?
Yeah, I'm pretty renaissance in what I can do. but yeah, we wanted to make money. And I mean, why sit around and watch? Like, see, we weren't the kind of sit around and watch TV types. And
yeah.
We didn't have all the distractions kids have nowadays.
That's right. Big difference.
I probably would have loved video games when I was 13. I would never have done that.
I'm sure. All right. Well, we're going to take a little break. We've got a couple of callers waiting online who have questions for Charlie. And I'll just give you the phone numbers one more time before we take a break. 367-0740 in the 416 area code. And toll-free in Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. Back with Charlie after this.
Don't change the radio station. Just because the weather changes, garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
You know, when I'm sitting in for Frank Proctor, I don't really have that much to do because Charlie takes the reins and I'm expected to give out the phone numbers. And David, our producer, came in and slapped me around on that break because I was giving out the wrong phone number.
It's amazing. How are people getting through?
I don't know. It's 416-360-0740, 360-0740. And I apologize for those of you who were calling whoever answered that other number. They're probably going crazy by now. All right, Charlie, we have Sarah on the line who's been waiting for a little while. Sarah, good morning to you.
Good morning. My question is about the climber euonymus.
Euonymus, yeah.
Euonymus, yes. They are getting dusty leaves and all stems, and a garden center advised me spray and all, and even ant killer, crawling insect killer, whatever I did, still, it is almost 1 month I'm doing this and not any benefit. They are old, almost 15, 20 years, and they were very nice covered defense. Now they are all dusty. Am I going to lose it or any advice?
Well, there is an insect that gets onto Euonymus that is called scale. I can't remember if I talked about it last week or maybe it was the week before. Scale insects are very small. When they're adults, they protect their little bodies with a shell. And so yes. The spray will not kill them. There's no spray that will kill an adult with the shell covering in place. However, the young ones haven't grown that shell yet, and they're very easy to kill. And the time to kill them certainly has been the last 10 days or so, and certainly there's still a chance. So they sold you something, a product called Endall?
Endall, and yep. They are all flies, you know, regular flies. They're sitting on it.
Yeah, well, you know why? It's because the scale insect is like a sucking insect. So it pokes little holes in the leaves and it sucks the juices out. And then the scale moves a millimeter and does the same thing again. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, they've left a hole behind and the juice drips out. And that juice or nectar from inside the plant is very attractive to flies and to aphids and to ants. Yeah. And so you sometimes will even get mildew or sooty mold, mm-hmm. black mold growing on that nectar. Or if it's humid weather. So it creates a real big mess. And ultimately, the scale can kill the plant just because they weaken it so much. So Endall is a very good spray to use. The trick is to remember it has got oil in it, and it's the oil that's actually going to do the killing for you. So you got to be shaking it all the time as you're spraying it. In between sprays, you shake. And all you're spraying is from underneath the plant. You have to spray the underside of the leaves and the stems and branches.
Yes.
So and it's a real thorough spray. You got to spray till it's just dripping, dripping, dripping. And don't spray if the plant is in the sun. It's been too hot for sun.
I do need to cut it down.
Yes, and you probably will need to cut it down to rejuvenate it because it's going to need to grow a bunch of new stuff, assuming you can kill the insects.
Yeah,
so I'd cut it first, then you spray less.
It is very hard, you know, it is in defense and going inside, outside, it can't be even cut.
Okay. Well, that's right. Sometimes they do get old and they're yeah. in amongst the fence and yeah. growing around the fence.
Yeah.
But still, yeah, put some long sleeves on is what I would suggest and sort of get in there and see what you can take out.
Yeah.
You may end up with some pieces of stem hanging in the fence that nothing is growing on, but it does mean you'll spray less by doing some cutting down.
Okay.
And yeah, it's worth trying to kill. If it's an old plant and you loved it, you'll really miss it. So, but that thorough spraying is really important.
Okay, thanks so much.
Okay.
Bye.
Good luck with that.
Yeah,
that's a tough one.
That is.
Yeah.
It sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, a lot of work. And I've seen the scale has been really, really big deal this year.
And so have brown lawns.
I was going to say, anybody who has a lawn may be dealing with a brown lawn right now. So I just wanted to share a couple little tips that I picked up. And these are some of the things that we, you know, Ontario turf growers and the Turf Grass Institute in Guelph is sharing. These are some of the key things to keep in mind when the conditions are dry. So number one, letting your lawn go dormant is okay. The length of time a lawn can be dormant without killing the turf depends on grass species, soil type, depth of topsoil, exposure, sun versus shade, slope, etc. A lawn can usually be dormant for 4 to 5 weeks without losing any grass, like any grass plants. As we move beyond that to the 6 to 8 week mark, expect to see some irreversible damage. So a dormant lawn is fragile. Make sure you keep traffic off of it and stop mowing and fertilizing.
Right.
Okay. If you are letting a lawn go dormant, commit to doing that. Bringing a lawn in and out of dormancy is very hard on it and exhausts its carbohydrate reserve. Once we get beyond the 6 week mark without water, it might be a good idea to give dormant turf a light watering of roughly 1 centimeter every 3 or so weeks to help it survive. This amount of water will not bring it out of dormancy, but it will help it survive a long dormant period. And bottom line is the Turfgrass Institute in Guelph is doing some research right now on different species and their ability to tolerate drought. So this has turned out to be an excellent summer for this particular test plots they've got going on. So hopefully they will have some better options moving forward in the future for more drought tolerant species as we potentially have more hot,
yeah,
dry,
yeah,
windy summers in our climate. So so that's just, you know, more information to come on best seeds or species to be growing, but there's some tips on how to keep your lawn alive.
Very good advice, and I'm sure a lot of us need that advice right now. I'm not so sure that we have time to take another caller, Charlie.
No, so I, you know what I could do? I will just, oh, you know what, one quick email then. How's this one?
Sure.
Vera Kern sent an email. She was wondering about fertilizing her Clivia, and if so, what with a high metal number or what? So again, this goes back to what kind of fertilizer do we use? Clivia is a tropical plant. It is a lovely flowering plant that typically starts to bloom in late winter, early spring, and right now at my house is in, you know, blooming like crazy. Yes, you should be fertilizing when the plant is actively growing. So yes, a 15-30-15, so high middle number being twice as high as the first number is important, every 2 to 3 weeks, starting usually about February or March and continuing right through until we head into the dormant period, which is September. All right.
All right.
Sounds
good.
Thanks for the question. And thank you, Robbie,
well,
again.
Well, thank you, Charlie, and I'll see you next week.
I will, and you've got another busy week ahead of you.
I do, absolutely. And of course, those crazy car guys are waiting because they're on next.
Can hear the engines rumbling.
Yep. Dave and his mob. Yeah, they're here. But Bob Comstock is going to give us a news update first, and then the car guys are on for an hour, and then I'll be back with Live in the City.
Filling in for Frank. So good luck with that. Have
thank
a great
so
week.
You
thank
too.
You, Dave, so much for all your support, and thanks to our great callers. I'll see you all next week.
You bet.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.